Anyone who's a mother will understand the terrible anguish many parents feel when they give birth to a child with severe disabilities. Besides their very natural concern for their child's health and future, many find themselves at a loss emotionally and economically over how to care for their child. Well, just imagine the added angst if the family in question lives in a war zone where checkpoints and walls limit travel between their home and the clinic, where, if they're lucky, their child receives professional care. I'm talking about the Holy Land, where not long ago I spoke to some very courageous and loving religious from the Daughters of Charity who work among the poor there. Sister Susan Sheehan is one of four sisters who run a home for some 70 severely disabled children in Ankaram, the village where St. John the Baptist grew up just west of Jerusalem. I asked her about the care they offer and who are the children they welcome into their home.
We host children from all over Israel, both Arab and Jewish. In recent years, we've been giving the area of Ashdod, Eskelon, and Beersheba. So many of our Arab children happen to be Bedouin. And they're ages 2 to 15, and we have a few older children who are awaiting placement.
Now, if you are only four sisters running the home, who else is helping you?
We have very dedicated staff, both Arab and Jewish, professionals and non-professionals. And we also have about 25 volunteers, mainly from countries in Europe.
Now, I understand the Daughters of Charity have other houses, such as this one in the Holy Land. How many children are you able to care for in total?
One of our houses in Nazareth is a hospital, and they also have a clinic and a school for the deaf. And in the school for the deaf, there's probably 100 children, but they might not go to school every single day. They come from the villages. Then in Haifa, we have 60 children, just like our own, severely handicapped, both mentally and physically. In Jerusalem, we have adult handicapped, three sections, men, women, and grandmother section. And we have other different services in our home in Jerusalem. In Bethlehem, we have a hospital and a baby home for normal children. And in Bethany, we have a home for boys. And I think that's our six houses.
My goodness. So that is certainly a lot of good work that you are sharing with many, many people there. Was there ever a time when you wished you could do more? Do you have to ever say no to a child?
I think handicapped children have such great needs that you can never meet all their needs. So you always feel like you should be able to do more.
Have you ever had to turn a child away?
As an institution, when the social services in Israel send us a child, a file, the child is chosen to come to our institution on the grounds of its physical and mental abilities. If the child is too slightly handicapped, for example, walks and talks and is very sociable, and his needs would not be met here. So we have to, our doctors usually decide, but a team of us decides who comes and who doesn't come. So there are times when we have to reject a child, but it's because a child is more progressed than our children and would not fit into our program here. We have a school on the grounds that's also directed toward our certain disabilities of our children. And if a child was like a Down syndrome child, they're usually higher level than our children, so they wouldn't fit here properly.
In your school, what sort of activities are the children involved in?
They go out to swimming. They have outings. They have pets. We have a Snoozyland, a special therapy room. We have a black room for eye exercises. They have physiotherapists that work with them, music therapists, We work a lot with the senses, developing the senses and a body awareness. And some learn to eat by themselves and some basic skills. A lot of physiotherapy work is done with them, so they learn to sit or to eat or to walk or to stand.
Now, you said you have some more than 20 children who actually are on feeding tubes.
Yes, mainly on gastro tubes, the tube that goes directly into the stomach. Some are fed with a drip system called kangaroo system, and some are fed with syringes.
And
they
and
have liquid food.
Your staff is Jewish and Arab, you said.
Yes, uh-huh.
Do you find that they unite in their love and their care for these children?
Oh, very much so, very much so. They're just, they have great ties, very close, and they work beautifully together. We have really had no problem between the Arab and Jewish people here. And when there's a bomb, everybody sympathizes with everybody. Or when there's a tragedy in the country, everybody is sorrowful.
Is this the same with the parents? They must undergo tremendous hardships, having children with a severe handicap. Many probably feel they're ill-prepared to care for their children, who really do require a special trained care and therapy.
Most of the children are here because the parents cannot give nursing care 24 hours. We have nurses on 24 hours. The children are near oxygen machines and suction machines. The parents just usually have other normal children at home, and they're all their time cannot go to one child and neglect the others. So we're very happy to pick up where the parents cannot continue.
Are you able to offer them special counseling and training?
To a limited degree. Mainly it's through social services. We've tried here as an institution, but because of the problem of Arabic and Hebrew and translation, the effectiveness of the counseling is not so good. But when they go to social services in the area from where they're at, they're provided counseling there.
Have you found that your program has in any way helped unite Jewish and Arab families?
Oh, definitely. Our parents will unite to fight for our children's rights many times here in different ways. And they're very supportive. They meet every month, and they're very supportive of us as an institution. Most of our children are Muslim and Jewish, though we do have two Christian children, and they really support us as a Catholic institution.
You have four children who have been completely abandoned. Tell me their stories.
Usually they're abandoned in the hospital, and they've never known their parents. And it's just very difficult. Most of them come to us a year or two in the hospital, so they've raised in a very sterile situation and not been cuddled and hugged, and some of them will not want us to even touch them in the beginning when they first come to us. So it takes us 6 months to a year to get them to be affectionate and responsive to affection and love.
Now, before, when we were talking on the phone off the air, you said that one story really hit you in particular. What was that?
There was a little boy whose parents just couldn't handle the fact that he was handicapped nor could take him home. So he came directly to us, but we found that mentally he was a little higher than some, and he can repeat words. And the sisters taught him Abba and Ima, which is mother and father. And we started realizing that the parents were very sweet people. They just didn't have the courage to visit their son. So the social worker and the sisters worked with them until one day they came to the home, and the boy saw his father a long distance away, and he yelled right out, Abba, Abba, Abba. And the father melted. Mm. And I think so did we, of course. And ever since, they've taken the child out every single Saturday.
So you've really been able to reunite families as well.
Right, right.
Another story that you mentioned to me was one child was actually found in a cave.
Right. She was abandoned in a cave. And we, of course, and I have no idea of her background or whatever.
But with no family, do some of these children ever want for love and affection?
Oh, we hope not. Because of all our children that cannot sometimes move their arms and legs, they still have a beautiful smile. And I think I don't think maybe we have one child or two only that is so handicapped that they're unable to smile. Most have beautiful smiles. And it shows that they feel loved and cared for.
عند أقدامي صليبك في المساء.
And my thanks there to Sister Susan Sheehan, speaking there from Ankarim, just west of Jerusalem. Well, the Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul have been putting smiles on the faces of needy families since the International Society of Apostolic Life was founded in Paris by St. Vincent de Paul and St. Louise de Marillac in 1633. The religious who give their lives serving the poor now number more than 21,000 and are present in some 94 countries. Often the people the sisters serve have no schools, no hospitals, and inadequate shelter and food. The congregation has been present in the Holy Land for more than a century. Well, if you'd like to have more information on their programs and to find out how you can volunteer, check out their website. That's www.daughtersips.org. Again, that's daughtersips.org.
Mm-hmm.